The Brad Sessmatt Show, broadcasting live.
Being with us, off we go into a new week. We are going to be talking about the Suns blowing out Coach Bud this morning. Not a surprise. What a dumpster fire. How they are paying three coaches. Please don't coach. Here's your check. They're going to have four coaches on the payroll next year. The three former guys and the new guy. Remember when the Suns were like the model of consistency in this sporting landscape of Arizona? Remember those days? Those were days were long, long, long ago. We will have John Wilner with us. The story that could impact, will impact college football that happened Friday at Tennessee, where their quarterback left the program and is now shopping himself around because he wasn't getting paid enough. And to think that this doesn't happen at ASU or U of A, you would be naive on this front. It's a really interesting story. John Wilner will be with us for the usual Wilner hotline on Mondays. And then Daniel, the draft Nick, Daniel Rios, the NFL draft is less than 2 weeks away. The draft Nick will be with us looking at it from his perspective. That's all straight ahead on today's show. Opening comments are brought to you by Desert Financial Credit Union. Desert Financial Credit Union, taking care of you, taking care of your business. As always and through the years, that is Desert Financial Credit Union. We appreciate Jeff Mishi and their support. I did nothing but watch golf this weekend. That's true. I did nothing except watch golf this weekend. If you're one of those that doesn't like golf, it's fine. I just don't think you understand the mental. It doesn't mean you have to be good at it. I'm not good at it, and I get it. Like Bryson was asked yesterday about why he and Rory didn't say one word to each other on the course. It's competition, man. We like this. We need this. Bryson's going to go back to the live. Rory's going to be sitting over here on the side. What we saw yesterday was just absolute drama. What we saw all 4 days. 4 days of here's the best in the game. And they're hitting it into trees. They're hitting it into the water. Rory yesterday, he's the champion. And he makes a couple of the worst shots I've ever seen. I can relate. We can all relate. And then the backstory about his family and how they had to sacrifice and all of that that goes into it. And so yesterday was a celebration for the sport. I don't care what the numbers say. Some people would be like, oh, the golf numbers, they're trending old. It doesn't matter. It's one of those that if you're not into sports, you're not watching me, but if you can't appreciate what happened over the weekend at the Masters, then I just don't really know what moves you. If you're one of those that had money bet on somebody, then I guess if your guy did not come through. But there was drama top to bottom with every shot. And I'm sitting here taking it all in, thinking this is as good as it gets. And if we're talking about just great sports, in my era growing up, it would be Magic Johnson and Michael Jordan, okay? And then it would move into other sports. Tony Gwynn, who was a good friend. I'm not going to sit here and drop names all day long, but I had my heroes, and I loved the sporting aspect of it very early on. I have never rooted for a team. Never. Don't care if the Suns win. Don't care if ASU wins. Don't care. Don't care if they lose. It's the way they go about losing. I'll get to in a minute. So to see how Rory and Bryson went back and forth, that is great drama. And that is great for sport. Justin Rose was just kind of along for the ride. To see the emotion of the golfers that didn't win that were there for Rory McIlroy and understanding how big of a deal it was for him to finally get over the hump and to be one of the greatest ever in his sport. And you're able to watch it now in real time. That's cool. So the Suns fire Coach Bud this morning, and I somebody sent me their release, and then I turned around and picked it up and saw it here. So I'll just read you what the Suns sent out. They put out this Suns relieve Mike Boonholzer as head coach. Okay. And they put a statement out. There was three lines. Competing at the highest level remains our goal. We failed to meet expectations this season. Our fans deserve better. Change is needed. We missed again. I mean, you can put out stuff. I guess I am just one of those that I see really good owners in sports. I see owners that have lots of money. Doesn't mean a thing. They've been wildly successful in other ventures. But when it comes to sports, we're just going to run this as a business. We didn't hit our number this year. You're fired. We didn't hit our number this year. You're fired. And it becomes the, you know, it becomes the idea that we've got it all figured out. And in this case, there has to be somebody, and I'd be naive to think that Matt Ishbia hasn't heard from Isaiah Thomas in one ear, and other people that have been in his circles, Tom Izzo, in another ear. I'd be naive to think that that hasn't been happening, and that somebody may become available. If you look at what has happened in the coaching cycle, the circus, as I like to call it, I don't know, Denver Nuggets blew out their head coach last week. Is that the right fit here? Kind of helps when you have Jokic, to me, a smart coach. Like, the idea that you are the best at what you do because it's you versus, you know, we might be pretty good in Milwaukee because we have Giannis and we have Bobby Portis. We have Middleton. We have players that know their roles. Here in Phoenix, like, I've been watching the Suns for 33, the night they brought me in for an audition back December 10th of 1993 or November 10th of 1993. And they take me to a Suns game. I sit down and they do all the thing. Charles gets introduced. KJ gets introduced. And everybody's excited. And the general manager of the radio station leans over to me and said, now you'd host the Colangelo show and you'd host the Westfall show. So immediately it's like, this is the biggest deal in town. Well, what has happened through the years is sports has been certain organizations, they've just become very territorial, and it's become a bunch of cheerleading for the most part. For the most part. And then you have fringe media that, you know, they just want a credential and to be cool and they're fringe. Then you have those of us that sit here and say, you know, we're going to be there when there's a need to be there, but a lot of this stuff nowadays is PR. PR this, PR that. Try to PR your way out of the Kevin Durant deal now. Just try. Fans, you know, when people say fans aren't stupid, yeah, sometimes, don't take that the wrong way. Some of you just think you should go 82-0. That's a fan. Like, I love the Masters saying patrons because they don't want fanatics. Fanatics are just like, oh, everything's great, everything's rosy, everything's happy. No, it's not. Things are lousy here in Phoenix right now if you're in the NBA. They're just not good. And so you have to be open to every option, including trading Devin Booker. You have to be open to it. Oh my gosh, that just shouldn't happen. Have you seen how Oklahoma City just bottomed out and then came back up and now they're in a sustained run? Have you seen where organizations bottom out and they have a strategy about them? And they're aiming and angling, trying every way possible to get Cooper Flagg this year. I'll use Danny Ainge up in Utah as an example. Trying everything possible. Everything, including stinking out loud, which they did. You get that one player and you build around that one player. Well, Devin Booker's in the middle of his career right now. He's got, you know, could be another 10 years left in the league. He's in the middle of it. But what is your most valuable asset? Is it an aging Kevin Durant? Kevin Durant's still great, but is Kevin Durant, he's a Hall of Famer, he's this, he's that. Is Kevin Durant going to bring you back the haul that you need to have of young players and draft equity, draft talent? Because if you go get a guy like Cooper Flagg, now you're building around. I'm not saying the Suns are going to be in that spot to do it. They might be. I'd be shocked if a team with the first overall pick said, you know what, we're going to pass on Cooper Flagg and we're going to take an aging Kevin Durant. But you never know. David Griffin was fired today down in New Orleans. Griff, of course, did a great job here with the Suns back in their heyday. We'll see if James Jones is next to go. I expect more changes. What does that mean? Not much. Do I expect this owner to be calm about it? We haven't seen or heard much of this owner this season. See a lot of him on his stuff with his business, and that's fine with his mortgages, but I don't know. I guess I'm just used to having an owner like we had way back in the day that is present, that I believe has the best interests in mind, that is willing to ride out the tough times and not just keep blowing out coaches right and left. You know, J.J. Redick gets brought in and L.A. gets criticized, and what happens? Well, man, he's not bad. Okay, we'll trade Anthony Davis and we'll get Luka. And, of course, my belief is the NBA is totally involved in making sure Luka got put over to the Lakers. I am a grassy knoll guy on some of this stuff. So, yeah, the Suns blow out their coach. What else is new? I'm not surprised. And there can't be anybody that is sitting here defending what's going on. But is there a bigger problem internally? You can fire James Jones, but if there's a bigger problem internally, who is making some of the decisions and where are they coming from and who is giving the advice? It was very concerning when Isaiah Thomas's name was thrown around back in the day to think that he hasn't been involved in anything on this. Come on. You're kidding yourselves. The baseball team playing all right. They're 500. They go on the road. Florida, the first stop. Pitching was Zach Gallen's not been great. He hasn't been terrible. And they have Merrill Kelly throwing tomorrow. They take 2 of 3 from Milwaukee over the weekend. The WNBA draft is tonight. I'm interested in that. And the other thing is, what about banning cell phones like they do at Augusta? Could you go to a sporting event and your cell phone is not allowed in? Well, there are people that they have their information. They have their credit card. They have their this. They have their that. They have their debit card. It's all embedded on the phone. So what would you do? You just get a little wallet and you bring it in. It's not that hard. Because I think watching the Masters and seeing how present everybody was, right down to the leaderboard changing. We go to sporting events now. I went to Diamondbacks opening day, and yeah, I'm in a nice suite, and most of the people that were in there were chatting. But there were some, there's a half dozen, they're just sitting there on their phones, not even watching how the game is going. Yeah, if I'm in the press box, which I was last Wednesday, a lot of the guys are in there working on their phones. Or I don't know what they're playing. I don't know if they've got their gambling app. I don't know. But I think it's cool that Augusta still has that in place. I really do. All right, huge story was what happened at Tennessee football on Friday, and it does impact Arizona State and Arizona. John Wilner and I will go through it, and then later, Daniel the Draftnik, Daniel Rios, NFL Draft is a week from this Thursday. We will be live out at Herzog Chin. Brian Urlacher is going to be with me as a guest. Daniel the Draftnik will be out there. We will talk NFL Draft 2 as we roll on a Monday. John Wilner joins us for a couple of minutes. As always, great to catch up with John. All things on the Wilner Hotline you can find on the website at sports360az.com. And, of course, John is nationally syndicated. You can find his content across the country. If you can't find it with us, that's the way it goes. It is good seeing you. We are...
You as well.
Yeah, we're no surprise land today, right, John? Like, we knew eventually that there would be a player that would say, my NIL is not enough. And so Tennessee, when it's all said and written about this NIL era, Tennessee is going to be right in the middle of it. Why don't you take the fans through this one?
Yeah, so over the weekend, it was the first weekend without major college football or basketball since the middle of August. But still, plenty of news, right? Saturday, Tennessee quarterback Nico Iamaleava, wanted to make sure I got that right, the pronunciation.
Right.
Yes. Basically, he and Tennessee parted ways. It was a lot like an NFL contract holdout. He wanted more money from their NIL collective than he was receiving. Tennessee said, no, sorry, you're not bigger than the program. So he entered the transfer portal. It's so rich on so many levels. First and foremost, Tennessee is basically ground zero for this whole NIL era. The Tennessee attorney, they were being investigated for paying Nico before he got to school. Their attorney general took the NCAA to court to basically loosen the restrictions on payments to NIL kids from collectives. And here they are. They are basically the victim of their own creation, right? Frankenstein came back home and knocked the place down, and he's gone. We'll see where he ends up. But I kind of applaud the Vols for saying, you know what? We're holding our ground. You agreed to this amount. He didn't play well enough, right? He was decent, but not an elite quarterback. So they held their ground and said, see ya. And I think that's a good move for the culture of the program.
Okay, let's peel the onion back on this one.
Yeah.
So $2.2 million is what he was being paid. $2.2 to $2.4 million.
Yep.
He wanted $4
million. Yep.
The family has started to come out saying we were led astray by our representatives. What a shock.
Yeah, that's right.
Josh Heupel did this the exact right way. And if you're a Tennessee fan, you have to be siding with the program, I would have to believe. So the message to the rest of the country off of the Nico case is, please do what Tennessee has done. If your parents, please understand who it is that's out there representing you, because they're in it for themselves for the most part.
Right. Well, and he had his dad did a lot of his representation. That was, and that a lot of people think that was part of the problem and how they misplayed this whole thing. If he had had a real agent working with him, they probably could have gotten this done quietly back in December and basically gotten him a contract extension or a boost, right? I mean, it's so much like the NFL now with these contracts and players threatening to become free agents and working on extensions. A real agent would have gotten it done quietly in December, and that would have been that. But they completely botched it, and it turned into this firestorm, and they look bad. And now the problem for the family is, I mean, you could say that they're a little bit cancerous, right? In a locker room, does a coach want to deal with the father? Does the program want to deal with all of the shenanigans? He may have actually lost leverage, right? If he's making 2-4 at Tennessee, he's now on the market. Who's going to take him? And are those schools willing to pay more given the way they've acted? Important point is the SEC has a rule. You cannot transfer within the conference in the spring right. window. Right. So he can't go to any place in the SEC. That leaves ACC, Big 12, and Big 10. I don't know how many schools at this point need a quarterback that desperately that they're going to be willing to take on this baggage and that expense.
You know, though, you're so wrong on this, John. There's, of course, going to be a crazy booster out there.
There will be.
There, you know this, John.
There will be. And just like the NFL draft, it only takes one team to take a risk on a guy and draft him three rounds before everybody else. But I will say this. The crazy booster factor, and I agree with you, and I think that there actually is one school that he could very well end up at. But none of the contenders, right? Tennessee's a playoff team, could have been a playoff team again.
Sure.
Is a potential playoff team going to take him? That's where he may have lost some value, is he's going to go to a rebuild, more money, but he's a rebuild situation rather than a contender.
And he's going to have a tag attached to him that you tag. Would buy, right? And so,
yep.
But beyond that, like the spring transfer portal window opens.
And Wednesday.
Yeah, it opens this week. And so yep. when there's guys and coaches in the spring ball saying our quarterback can't play dead, we've made mistakes all over the place. And it doesn't matter what level. So the dad may have looked at it, or the agent's representation is being split out there today. Like it's not the dad's fault. It's these other people that were advising.
Yep.
Go out there and take $1 million or $500,000 and go to Ball State out of argument's sake and just go play. And then next year you're going to go back in the portal. You're going to go
yep.
to NFL, right? So he could go anywhere in the country. Wyoming needs a quarterback. I'll bring this closer though to Arizona State. If Nico's dad wins the deal this last week and they pay him $4 million and the Levitts find out about how much Nico's being paid, because I'd be naive to think that all these quarterbacks in college are not asking around, hey, what's he getting? There would have been an impact on Arizona State, in my opinion. It doesn't mean Sam would leave. It's just what's the number now? What do we have to
do right
now? And this won't stop, John, right?
Probably not. I mean, there's going to be quarterbacks that will get raises, so to speak, from this situation, I would think. Now, ASU specifically, some of that depends on the culture of the program, the relationship between the kid and the coach and the program. I mean, ASU took Leavitt when he wanted to leave Michigan State. Loyalty factor. My guess would be that he would be okay, the Leavitt family would be okay with whatever arrangement they have right now. But there's a quietly, Kenny Dillingham talks to the father, the representative, or even Sam, and says, you know what, let's get through the next season, have a great season, and then we can discuss it again. And that's how these things should get taken care of, quietly. But it is, I compared it to the Nick Saban retirement, right? That did two things. It set off a chain reaction of vacancies, right? Washington, and then Arizona, and then San Jose State, right? A chain reaction.
Right, right.
It also got a whole bunch of other coaches' raises, right? Mike Norvell got $10 million. Sarkisian got $10 million. Anybody who was on Alabama's list got a raise. Well, the same thing could happen with Iamaleava. There's going to be a reaction now because Tennessee's going to need to go get a quarterback from somebody, and they got a lot of money that they could pay. So there'll be a reaction there. And then a bunch of quarterbacks are going to get paid to stay where they are, right? Sam Leavitt, and I'm just throwing this as a hypothetical,
sure.
Right?
Sure.
Tennessee could come after Leavitt and say, well, we'll offer you four. So he gets a raise in that regard from ASU. Or, you know, name your other quarterback. So multiple layers, it's a lot like the Saban retirement in that it could get a lot of players money, just like he got coaches money, and could set off a series of vacancies at the quarterback position.
One other question about this, John Wilner with us, as he does every week. Catch John's content on Sports 360 and, of course, across the Fruited Plain. You can find him on social media. It's great to have John. Such great insight and knowledge. How will this change once the House settlement is all figured out, top to bottom, buttoned up, checks are handed out, and it's behind us?
Yes, good question. In theory, the House settlement, which should be approved, what are we, April 14th? My guess is early May, right? So in theory, the quarterback, like we'll take Sam Leavitt, will then be getting a scholarship. He'll be getting revenue sharing from the school, however much ASU decides to allocate to the starting quarterback. He will then have the option to get real NIL. He could do a promotion for Honda of Tempe and get $500,000, $1 million.
Sure.
And in theory, there's also the fake NIL available, which is the under the table stuff. Now, the power conferences in the NCAA are trying to set up an enforcement arm that will prevent the fake under the table NIL, the pay for play that will prevent that from happening under the terms of the settlement. They are partnering with Deloitte, which is going to basically run a clearinghouse for all the NIL deals. Everything is going to have to get reported. We all know that the boosters, especially in the SEC, will find ways to circumvent that official clearinghouse. So there still will be under the table NIL available. It's not going to be as easy to do, I don't think, in the new era, but it would be technically available. And that's all why the athletes really don't have a great reason to unionize, form a collective bargaining agreement with the NCAA that would then prevent a lot of the shenanigans, because they have got money coming in from so many resources. They've got it great. It's never been better time to be an athlete.
So Brandon Huffman does great recruiting work on.
Yes.
And does great recruiting work. He's one of the few in that space that I think is in it for the right reasons. That's just my view on recruiting services at this point in time. There's going to be high school daddy ballers that have their, I'll even go down to junior high, they have their seventh grader who's being ranked with 5 stars by some fake website. And they're going to start saying, oh, how much money for me to come here and how much money for me to come there. We're going to start to see kids at the high school level. It's already happened some in the past where high school kids' dads will tell me, I just hope he doesn't get hurt this year. We're really not sure if he should play his senior year in high school. Now that he has everything buttoned up. It's the greatest year of your life. Your senior year of high school is the greatest year of your life. You should be playing and representing your school.
Yep.
the trickle down from something like this getting out in public, John, because I think most fans don't even know that there's this type of dollar that is sitting out there right now, because we're still in the wild, wild west front.
We are.
Are we going to see this and a guy like Brandon have to go to some parent or kid and say, how much money are they paying? Or is he already doing that, do you think?
I think that a lot of that's happening. Yeah. And part of the problem is that everyone knows that this settlement is going to go into effect July 1st. And at that point, there is going to be somewhat of a cap on how much you can earn. So what the schools are doing now is they're going to their collectives and they're saying, well, let's front load. Let's get as much money to either transfers or high school recruits who have committed or signed. Let's get them all this money now before the cap goes into effect. Now, it's technically a little bit of a soft cap because there's other ways to get money. But the revenue sharing is going to limit, in some regards, how much these guys can earn. The market for football, and especially for basketball players, flooding cash to the athletes to get everybody locked in with as much as possible before the settlement takes effect on July 1st. So that is, the market is a little bit artificially inflated right now, but still, yes, high school seniors, high school juniors. I don't know if it's gotten to the sophomore and freshman levels yet, but certainly those kids have got verbal, some of them have got verbal agreements, there's no doubt, maybe even signed agreements with collectives to get paid for committing to a school. Absolutely, that's happening. It is. It's not really the Wild West. It's the Wild West on steroids, and it's going to stay that way, certainly, until the settlement is approved. Once the settlement is approved, that's going to start to kind of create some restraints on the marketplace.
Where do you think Nico ends up, John?
Well, I can tell you on the way, he's an LA kid, and I think UCLA is a distinct possibility. They need a quarterback, and they don't have like this super established winning culture where if you bring in somebody, it could disrupt things. One, jealousy over money.
Right.
Two, you know, big ego, me first. UCLA doesn't really have that because they got a second year coach. They didn't make a bowl game. There's less downside risk for the Bruins than there might be for another program. I don't think Oregon. I don't think Washington. Some people are talking about USC. I guess that's possible. I would put my money on UCLA, actually. The question would be, do they have the booster money available to meet whatever demands that the family might have? And his brother had committed to UCLA and then flipped his commitment right before signing day. So there's a lot of familiarity with the school.
I'll let you go off that. I appreciate your time and insights. I know we just went through one deep dive topic, but it's one that's got lots of tentacles. And
it does.
Keep an eye on. There's John.
It does.
And we're back with more after this timeout. If it's a Monday, that means the Draft Nick. Daniel Rios is with us for a few minutes. The NFL draft comes up a week from Thursday in Green Bay. Cardinals pick 16th overall. They are not in the market for a quarterback in all likelihood, though Adam Schefter left the door open just as a hypothetical, the owner is not big on the local. Schefter reported that on his podcast last week. So, Mr. Rios, let's just go through where we stand today. This is the last week I saw where Shedeur Sanders is going to visit the Raiders, Cam Scatabue visit the Cardinals, all the draft angles. What jumps out most to you?
Well, yeah, well, what jumps out most to me? I mean, all these visits are really interesting. It's all last minute. Typically, nothing too crazy. You'll see teams, you know, what's a smokescreen? Well, who's actually, what means something? And around this time, it's just kind of teams last second. Like, they know everything. And I mean, they know everything about these players at this point. It's just shoring up those last minute, those last second things. In terms of storylines, well, Will Johnson worked out this morning at Michigan. He worked out for a couple of scouts, and what was interesting is he didn't run a 40, which is probably one of his biggest, question marks coming into this draft. And, you know, that potentially opens up the door for a guy like Jahdae Barron to go number one in the, cornerback market. So, visits, all these, what's a smoke screen, what's not, who's lying. It's a fun, like, last 2 weeks. You don't know who's lying, you don't know who's telling the truth, and you're gonna see Adam Schefter tweet out a bunch of things of like, oh, the Bengals are expected to pick this guy, the Cardinals expect. He doesn't know. He's just tweeting what he's hearing, and that's what he's supposed to do. But we won't know what teams are actually going to do until, like you said, Thursday night in a week.
Okay, so as it sits right now, run through your top five. How do you think it breaks top five picks a week from Thursday night in Green Bay?
Yeah, top five, Cam Ward. I think I've said it before. It's kind of locked in at this point. Number two, as much as I think the Browns, should go quarterback, they probably won't. I think Travis Hunter, he is best player in this draft. It's insane. Ball skills, just a heck of an athlete. Three, I think the Giants are kind of sitting there like, Shador is interesting, but Abdul Carter, we can kind of get him to work in a little bit. I think that they're going to go BPA, best player available, and they just kind of got to go Carter, heck of an athlete. Number four, Pats, they're sitting there, they're crying, they're like, oh well, what do we do? The offensive tackle's it's a little too early for this. I feel like we're going to see a trade there. Someone's going to come up, get Shador, because Browns and Giants pass on him, so there's a storyline that I've been heavily interested as well. And then five, the Jaguars, they're kind of in a rough spot of like I've said, this draft is outside of Travis and Abdul and Genty. It's like, I mean, who's a for sure first round pick? Who's a for sure top five pick?
Sure.
And obviously running back is, you have that storyline. So I think the Jaguars, it's kind of, that's the first real coin flip of this draft. I'd say Jalen Walker or Mason Graham at this point, but it's, who knows what they really do.
The idea that this is a draft that has three players, really three players at the very top, and then there's a big drop off. Do you subscribe to that theory, or is it just, look, it's not that big of a drop off. You're still going to get quality. It sounds like you're thinking this isn't the deepest draft.
You're still going to get quality, but typically in a first round, the top 10, you're expecting to get that blue chip player. Last year, you're expecting to get a Caleb Williams. You're expecting to get, Drake May, those stars that you expect to come in day one and make an impact. Typically, this year, it's just there's so many question marks with a lot of these guys. You already talk about it at number one. Cam Ward already has a ton of questions about him as a quarterback prospect. Last year, he's maybe quarterback five. This year, you come in, Mason Graham, he doesn't have the longest arms. He's not the most explosive type of pass rusher. There's a question marks with him. Jalen Walker, is he a stand-up linebacker? Is he an edge rusher? Like, he's a great athlete, but you're betting on traits a little bit there. So, I mean, Will Campbell, I mean, I think he's my offensive tackle number two. Doesn't have long enough arms for, NFL standards. So a lot of people are questioning, is he a tackle? Is he a guard? Who's going to really take him? How early? So I don't think it's obviously a question of talent. It's just a question of, can these guys go up to the next level? And this is a starter heavy draft. You're going to get a starter in round two or three, but you're not going to get a star.
The draft, Nick, Daniel Rios with us for a few minutes. Before we get you out of here, the draft a week from Thursday at Green Bay. Let's go in state. T-Mac will be the first player taken from within the state of Arizona. Where do you think is the most natural landing spot for him as we sit here 12 days out?
Most natural, I would say Carolina. They need someone for Bryce Young. You need a guy who can go up and get the ball. You need someone who Bryce Young can just say, hey, I'm in trouble. Let me just throw it up to you and go make a play. But the problem is they're picking a number eight, and his value probably doesn't reflect number eight. So it's are they going to reach for a guy like him? We'll have to see. But I think T-Mac's most natural fits, when I look at the roster, has to be Carolina. Him lined up across from CeeDee Lamb certainly is exciting. And then, moving just one state over to LA and going over with the Chargers. Justin Herbert needs a guy as well. And I mean, his contested catch ability is special. And whoever ends up and doesn't overthink the pick because, oh, he didn't run a 4.3 40 and he's not, crazy fast, and they're going to be happy when they, get in the fall camp and he's, making all these highlight plays over DBs and, getting open and just showcasing that elite route running ability.
Okay, so then there's a couple others. Benjamin Morrison's going to work out later this week at Pro-Fee Prep. You've got Cam Scadabu, who has met with the Arizona Cardinals. You have Tyler Shuck, who we've talked about in the past. I think it's going to be an interesting Arizona connection draft this year because I think Shuck, more than any of the others, it's just intriguing when you have an older quarterback that he's turned into, no, I'm just mature. And so, take me through the Arizona side. Maybe I'm leaving somebody out that's intriguing to you, but that's what I see.
No, Brad, you're right. Tyler Shuck, and the average NFL fan's going to be like, oh, 26 next year. Like, whatever fan base gets him, they're probably going to be upset. But this kid can play. This guy can spin the ball. And it's not like he had to stay in the college for 6 years. It wasn't his choice.
Right.
You get injured 3 straight years. I mean, it's a tough break, but. It, I mean, like you said, it matures you. It gets you more mentally ready. He got to learn more systems. My time at the combine, he seemed very confident at the podium going through what he's learned throughout his journey, how much control he had over the Louisville offense this past season. And you see it on tape. He doesn't make many mistakes and he gets rid of the ball. Now, granted, sometimes, he does put the ball in danger, in harm's way, but I mean, you look at some of these other quarterbacks that are getting hyped, and like a Jackson Dart or a Will Howard or a Jalen Milroe, and there are a lot more question marks of can they come in as a day two pick and can they start? And if I were have to rank all those guys, it'd be Shuck. And I think even he's more ready to start than Shador and Cam Ward. So he's definitely going to be, heavily sought out. I've seen as early as 33 to the Browns on day two. So it'll be maybe a quick day for him sitting there on day two waiting to hear his name called. And you may even see someone come in end of round one, come in late. We saw it with Lamar Jackson. We'll have to see what happens there.
Good stuff there, Daniel Rios. The Draftnik draft is a week from Thursday. Daniel the Draftnik is going to be, I like that name. Daniel the Draftnik is going to be out at Harrah's auction with me and also Brian Urlacher, great Chicago Bear Hall of Famer. We will be out at Harrah's auction taking in the draft. Draftnik will be there. Brian, myself, will be chopping it up. There'll be lots of things out there for fans to get involved in. That will be a week from Thursday. Very much looking forward to that. Draftnik, I'll see you next week. Thanks.
Next week.
We're back with more after this time out.